you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. And before we address another chapter, I guess we could address it. We look at it, we read it, we recount it, we talk about it. A chapter from Memories of an African Son by our very own Marianne Simpkins. Let me give you a couple quick updates. Oh, Marianne, after yesterday, after minimal sleep, it's so much better to be rested and back in the saddle. And
I told you on Monday, I said, you need to claim that scripture, the Lord gives his beloved sleep.
Yeah. I needed that sleep, yeah. We had a quick little getaway. A shout out to Scott and Gina Dunn, his new bride. They were married Saturday in, not Beverly Hills, in, what did I tell you? I'm trying to think. It's Burbank.
Yeah.
It was Burbank. Was it the Mary Tyler Moore Show or the Beverly Hillbillies? Was it the Burbank?
The Beverly Hillbillies
or something?
Hollywood, weren't they?
Oh, Hollywood. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Burbank, it's a beautiful city.
They were in Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Because that's how the song went.
Well, I was thinking that one guy, the banker.
Texas gold, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, black gold, Texas gold.
Well, anyways,
what are we talking about?
We had a quick little visit out there, but by the time we got back, late Sunday night, and you know, it made Monday go very quickly.
Well, you were here bright and early when I got here.
Yeah, so. Well, it was great having Pastor Chuck Moore from the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy.
How long has he been there?
13 months. Okay. At one point, as I heard the re-airing in the evening, I said 13 years.
Oh, no.
Two other times I said 13 months.
Oh,
so I don't know. I went from months to years in a heartbeat. But great pastor. He really welcomed back the singing men of GNN. We had another rehearsal last night working on Christmas music. It's so odd.
Oh, my word.
You know, when it was like 90-something degrees.
I know. This summer has gone on and on.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
I guess.
But out in California, we flew into Los Angeles. I don't think I got enough sleep.
I don't think you did. That's a huge city from the air.
I have to tell you, I've driven Chicago. I've driven Jerusalem. I've driven different big cities. Los Angeles is the worst as far as, you know, hills and curves and bends.
Well, that L.A. freeway is just
traffic.
Astounding.
Galore. Oh, I'm so glad we flew out Sunday afternoon. But with the losing the 2 hours and then getting back and then getting our shuttle from the airport to the hotel to get our car that we had left. And I was just,
anyway. The L.A. freeway to all you got to do is get down University or Florida.
I do appreciate it. And I thought if you drove in Chicago, you can drive anywhere.
They don't drive in Chicago. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
They just have cars on the road.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, but it was great. Scott met his first lady. Scott's a movie producer.
Oh, that's
fun. I can't think of a couple different movies he's produced.
Wow. Now, this is David Dunn's son.
David Dunn's son, his number one son. He has Dave.
Number one son.
Yeah, like Scott and Laura.
But, number two son.
Yeah. It was great meeting up with him. And oh, it was just a lot of fun with the Dunns
and some
other friends. The Shoemakers were out there and
some other friends.
So I had to go all the way to Burbank to meet up with some friends right from the Mohammed Champaign area.
Oh, that's great.
So
anyways,
congratulations, Scotty and Gina, and many blessings and the days ahead. But I did post it on my Facebook page. I guess that was on Sunday or Monday, a panorama of the mountains in the background in the gazebo that they were married under. And, you know, it's kind of like Colorado, California, this mountain range all in the background. It was on a golf course where they had this reception and the wedding. And so,
When I went to California, I couldn't believe how picturesque it's gorgeous.
It was beautiful. And the weather was fantastic. And we walked around. We stayed in a Holiday Inn and walked around the area. And it was just like they had those you know, musicians that are on the street corners, and then the person that's like all gold, like a statue, and doesn't move for like an hour straight, barely blinks, and stood on this little pedestal thing, and then one time had a candle, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, it was hard to tell, because they had that, like what George Washington had, that golden hair, but it was like all solid gold, so they were all gold face. And
oh, you mean that curly hair?
Yeah, curly hair, but it was so tight, so I don't know if it was a man or a woman.
Those were wigs, I think, but Yeah,
this was like a golden wig with their face all gold, but they had a candle in each of their hands and one on their head.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they just held it like that, and they didn't blink. And
yeah.
Then they had another guy that was dressed like a robot doing the stance and the music, and another guy singing, playing the guitar in the next corner. And so it was fun just walking around. And
I saw those street people statues in Seattle, and people would go up and try and get them to, it's kind of mean, but they would try and get them to blink or say something. They did not budge.
Yeah. I don't know how they can hold that stare that long. They probably train themselves to get into, if you will, like a trance. Because even every once in a while, hey, let's practice, everyone. How'd I do?
That's right.
Yeah, they can't see us. But then he had this rose he'd hold out. And once in a while, if somebody dropped some money or something in his little bucket or whatever he had on the ground, he would turn it or twitch it a little or something. Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of fun. So back in the saddle, working hard again. Singing Men rehearsal last night. It's always great with the guys gathering. We're preparing for our 20th year in a row at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And so if you'd like to sing with us men, there's still time. Just this coming Monday night at 7 to 9 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. We meet from 7 to 9 p.m. as mentioned, and we'd love to have you as we're preparing for our 20th year in a row, 20 straight years when we sing this December in the food court. And so it'll be
to go to that church, you have to be able to say that long name before
that's right.
First
part of the
Church
membership
of Champaign in Savoy.
Yep. Actually, they have a new website. It's now just savoychurch.org. They
How
did
convenient.
Studies and research, and hyphens and stuff. Yeah. So SavoyChurch.org,
and
you can find out about their service times. And have a 9 a.m. traditional service, very traditional, and then a 10:30 contemporary, one in the crossing, the other in the sanctuary, and how they work that. And
Yeah,
it was a great interview yesterday. It was so fun meeting Pastor Chuck Moore and getting to know him better, and he's very accommodating. He had no notes or anything. He just went. He was telling stories.
I don't have any notes, neither do you.
That's true. I was just impressed because I asked him about a book he wrote 15 years ago, and he kind of had answers, and it was called The Idiot's Guide to Faith. And it was off of the series, like, you know, there's dummies for this.
He wrote one of those.
Yeah, so it was the Idiot series, and he co-wrote it with
someone. Who wants to say they need that book?
Well, his wife was all over him.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're not going to call it that.
Oh, that's funny.
And he said, it's not my role. He was talking about, and you've maybe had this, where the people that publish, if they do the cover and the title or something, you don't have much say. No. You have some say, but they kind of say, hey, we're doing the cover and the title or whatever, you work on the content.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that they agreed on that, and his wife's like, really?
Well, it's catchy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those idiot dummy books out there. You know, no one likes to be seen with them, but some of them are great.
Hey, this Saturday, speaking of great, there's a great thing going on. It's called Endless Summer. Save the date. Now, this is the rain date. It was actually supposed to happen September 8th, but there was all that potential rain and thunderstorms and such, so they changed it to be happening this Saturday, the 22nd. There'll be a number of bands there. There'll be like a car show and a raffle.
Oh, my.
And
who's putting that on?
It's to raise funds for Mercy's Refuge.
Oh.
So Mercy's Refuge is doing it, and Greta and that whole team of the Pregnancy Resource Center.
Yeah.
And so that's all happening this Saturday. I think, let's see, I'm looking at the old flyer. Let's see, I better put on the readers. Let's see there. Oh, it looks much clearer now. From 5 to 11 p.m., Main Street and Walnut Street in downtown Champaign. So it'll all be happening this Saturday, September 22nd, downtown Champaign, on the corners of Main Street and Walnut Street. So it'll be a lot of fun, bands, live music, giveaways, raffle, silent auction. Oh, yeah, raffle.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you could win.
Yeah, I could.
So
I may not, but I could.
See you at Endless Summer this Saturday night, 5 to 11 p.m. in downtown Champaign. Okay, hey, let's get a chapter read. What number are we on?
Chapter 17.
And it's titled, as I turn to it, Answering the Call. Let's answer the call.
All right. Okay, we'll read it. Chapter 17, Answering the Call. I'm not sure how someone flies hundreds of miles in the dark in a small plane over the African bush with no lights anywhere below, but I know of a pilot who did.
And lived to tell someone.
Oh, yeah. He came to rescue the youngest child on our mission station, a precious little girl, in the middle of the night. He landed the plane between two lines of fires that we had built along the sides of our mission runway strip to illuminate his touchdown. And then he took off with our little mission girl on board to fly hundreds of miles to the largest city hospital in North Zimbabwe. The plane disappeared into the night, its blinking lights fading high in the black sky, leaving us in the darkness, with our many kerosene lanterns, the distant light of our hospital glowing faintly, and raging orange-red fires to extinguish. We were living in a time and place where outside communication was slim. With no phones or computers, getting the word out that something was wrong had been a large undertaking. However, we did have a shortwave radio, and though we didn't know if anyone could hear us, we pounded out the message in the darkness. Our mission doctor had watched that night as his only child grew more and more ill, and after every resource in our hospital had failed to save her, we fell to our knees in prayer. Word of our situation was transmitted through the shortwave radio and desperately relayed forward, and the minutes of sickness and high fever ticked on. And then, the miracle in the night. Word came back to us. Someone was on the way. Many miles away, a pilot, a crop duster by trade who none of us knew, had heard our frantic message and was at that moment boarding his plane to come for us. The adults on our mission station, both missionaries and Africans, hurried out into the blackness with lanterns and flashlights to clear ground around our small runway strip and set about building large fires to outline its path. The pilot would have to set the plane down between the lines of fire. Our little girl was saved. Many days later, she finally came home over bumpy roads, back to our mission station with her doctor father and her nurse mother. We loved her so. I cannot forget that night. Out of sheer darkness, help arrived, and a talented man landed a plane between wide lines of fire. The people who rise to the occasion, who do what needs to be done, they are a special breed. The ones who instinctively know they have the skill to do it, and when their turn comes up, they don't shirk. Their years of practice pay off, and they can do the unimaginable. They are my heroes. I've many times watched people worry over what their life purpose is and where they should spend their time, wasting countless hours in the process. And they are often told the quite useful advice, do what you love and God will use it. But you know what? There's something else that is just as true. If we just keep doing our job and learning the skill or the trade in front of us, whether or not we love it, if we apply ourselves, God can also use that.
Yeah, think of that. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do.
Yeah.
I love it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.
I never heard that
and then
quite the way you
the
put
Lord
that emphasis.
Christ you are serving. So if we have the right perspective that whatever we're doing, even activities, hobbies,
that's
or
great.
Just visiting with people or that talent or that trade or that occupational work that you're doing,
yeah.
Do it unto the Lord and He's going to use it.
Yeah. If we apply ourselves, God can also use that. That's what a crop duster pilot did when he heard the faint, frantic cry of some missionaries deep in the bush trying to get a message out to someone. I have no idea if he liked crop dusting. What I do know is that his many years of maneuvering in that plane day after day were all practice for something extraordinarily important in our lives. Paul says in writing to the Ephesians, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Ephesians 2:10. I'm sure there are many ways, mysterious ways, in which God prepares in advance for the good works we will do. But I would guess that in addition to giving us gifts and abilities, one of the ways is simply having us show up for work over and over, like a crop duster who just went to work every day. And when that work was turned over to God, a story that is very often still told occurred. That pilot knew how to fly, and fly he did, on one of the most hazardous journeys I've ever heard of. Deep into the African bush he came, and he flew our girl to safety. I wonder what it looked like to him as, far away in a dark sky, he approached us that night, and in the deep darkness saw up ahead, below him, appearing out of nowhere, those lines of fire. To this day, I am in awe. Lord, instead of worrying so much about what I should be doing, help me to do what is in front of me. Give me the courage to walk out in the gifts and abilities that you have so graciously placed inside me, and let me never disparage what your word says is also your handiwork, myself. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for making me. And I praise you for each one of us. Help us turn ourselves back over to you, the Creator, and walk out in power, freedom, and truth as your creation. In the name of Jesus, who holds everything together.
Who holds everything together, and knew that that moment would take place where you would
all
be praying that the girl who was sick and who was going to need doctors and emergency help, and how all you guys gathered around and used all the medicines you had and all the talent, the abilities, and it wasn't enough. And then you're like, now what are we going to do? And you're using the shortwave radio and this crop duster from...
I know.
Did you ever hear more of the story?
No, I did not.
Okay, I wondered. Obviously, he had a shortwave radio.
Oh, yeah. And it was relayed forward, and he got it, and he had the ability. There's this plane. He came. He went many miles to us. Yeah.
Wow. And then the fact, I'm sure, as he's flying in to see those fires. And did you help put out those fires that night?
No. I wasn't allowed to get near the fires.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You have to imagine how pitch black it was. It's hard to imagine here. No electricity, no light for hundreds of miles. It was just pitch black. No houses with lights, just our little hospital, and maybe like 50 miles down the road, a little like 100 miles down the road, a little generator with another little bit. It was so dark.
Wow.
And here he came.
Yeah. And I like how you fashioned this into the story that he probably day in and day out got into his crop duster, did his thing, never knowing in a sense that the Lord was allowing that skill to be refined and fine-tuned so that he could land in such a place like this.
Exactly. I'm guessing he worked either probably quite a distance away at one of the colonists. They had some plantations. There was some sugar cane. There was also some tea plantations further, quite a bit further east from us. So I'm not sure where he worked.
That's chapter 17 from Memories of an African Son, called Answering the Call. And I wonder how God would use it in someone's life today as they're thinking about their work, their occupation, their vocation. Maybe they're retired and they're trying to figure out how to invest their time or their energy or their talents into their children or grandchildren or neighbors. But there's a calling that God has on all of us. We wouldn't be alive and existing if we didn't have some kind of work that he wanted us to finish. It might be as simple as an encouraging word to bless somebody that's discouraged. Mm-hmm. Might be holding a door open for someone going into the supermarket because she has her five children all around and she's at wit's ends.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, using their technique or their specialty. You know, maybe they're a surgeon and they're going to work on somebody's heart today, or a psychologist or a counselor that's going to have a word for their heart to mend a hurt or a wound, or It's just going to be a neighborly, kind act of somebody crossing the yard and helping lift something into a car. Or, you know, there's so many very simple things. It doesn't have to be these grand
things. So. Do you ever, like, kind of stand back and look at the big picture as best you can, if just our city even, and just kind of get this kind of overview of all the people right now doing all these various works, carrying, like you said, you know, pushing the carts back into the store, people working on machinery, people putting tires on, fixing engines, just everywhere. It's amazing. We have all these works.
And
things we can do.
And like this pilot would have never thought that maybe he'd be used to rescue and bring this child to a hospital.
Yeah.
And so there might be somebody that's penning some words down, that those words someday will be used, that winnowing, that fine-tuning that skill to write a book that's going to influence somebody, or a score of music.
Sure.
Or, you know, somebody that's working on the tedious, I'm doing this every day, what's the purpose behind it? And then they're going to find they were used in a unique way because of that refining fires of whatever God was taking them through that seemed maybe hopeless or redundant.
True,
or like, why am I doing this job day in and day out? But they become that testimony, that witness to others, how they survived or maybe eventually thrived in that vocation because they were persistent. And I think you said even before when we prayed up this program, you know, if we could just allow the Holy Spirit, and it's, I don't know who we are to allow the Holy Spirit, but if we could be just so attentive to what He would share through us or in us or bring conviction or hope or not just a cookie-cutter response to some situation, we would be listening as He would impress upon our hearts a certain maybe word or a facial characteristic, you know, an empathetic look, you know, something that might be the turning point for somebody to know Him better.
Oh, I like that, what you said, be attentive to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, attentive to His leading.
Yeah.
We could all answer that call today, to be attentive to the Lord's leading. Maybe that's another way of using your chapter title, answering the call, everyone. Let's answer that together.
Yeah.
Attentive to the Lord's leading, and those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it'll be easier to do that for those of you that are still seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're missing out on the power and the energy and the enthusiasm that He would like to birth in you as you become His disciple. And the Holy Spirit is the gift
that
God gives all of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's answer the call today. May we cast our cares on Him as He cares for us and be equipped to be a messenger, a minister of His gospel, His good news message of Jesus. All right, well, everyone, it's Tuesday, so do that good work. Be attentive to the Lord's leading, and may you be blessed as you recognize anew how much God loves you.
Aww.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.